got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Getting the lead out, folks. And taking you by the hand into the weekend as January fades into our memory. We are now 8.5% through with 2020. How do you like them apples? Well, you don't have to like them apples. Anyway, let's move in and chat about, let's chat about sports. That seems like a novel concept here, don't you think? You could participate 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could try us on the text line, 321-0824. Twitter. Huh. When was Twitter born? 09? I think so. Our station is at 953 The Score. For me, it's at Sports Talk 953. For that guy over there, Nick, at Rick Nodgers. We were fortunate enough to have a conversation top of the show back during the 3 o'clock hour with Brooke Olsendam, who sideline reporter extraordinaire for the Portland Trailblazers on NBC Sports Northwest, and the Blazers are the team that are playing the Lakers tonight at Staples, the first game since the horror of Sunday. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is not playing. He just says, I can't play a basketball game now. They announced that the All-Star game participants will wear number 24 for Kobe and 2 for his daughter Gianna. Fans are being told, watch the tribute from home. I mean, obviously, you get an area like where Staples is in L.A. They're basically being told, if you don't have tickets, you're probably going to want to avoid the area. And they said they're not going to be showing it like on any LED screens in downtown L.A. So, stay home and, pay tribute with your loved ones. And like Nick mentioned, there's going to be some gear with 9 stars to identify, obviously Kobe and his daughter, John Altobelli, who was killed with his wife, Carrie, and daughter, Alyssa, Christine Mauser, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and the pilot, Ara Zabayan. So, there's no question the game is secondary, but when they showed a couple of photos from Staples Center earlier, they've got an 8 or a 24 jersey on every single solitary chair, and it's going to be, you're going to need a lot of tissues for this one, I have a feeling. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Brad. Brad, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. So I think that though there's zero chance of it actually happening, am I evil for wanting the Blazers to go down there and get a win?
Yeah, I think you kind of are. But, you never know, because there are always games in what I'll call the aftermath. I don't know that we've exactly seen anything just like this.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. And, I mean, my guess is that LeBron is going to be close to matching Kobe's 81 tonight. I just...
You get a sense that, I guess the best way to put it, he's probably going to be on a mission.
Yeah. I mean, you got to wonder how someone like Trevor Ariza feels, too, as a former teammate who played a bunch in that building. And, you know, I don't know. You know, it's just confirmation that this is a screwed-up season for the Blazers.
Yeah, of all the teams to walk in there, it just, I don't know if it's a frustrating irony, if that makes sense.
Well, and on some level, somewhat appropriate. I don't think there's a team that hates the Lakers more in the NBA than the Blazers. I mean, it really. I know that it's the hammer and nail rivalry theory, but at the same time, Portland hates LA with a passion. You know, especially just going back to that Western Conference Finals where Kobe made his ascension. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I look forward to watching it tonight, even though I'm not really looking forward to the outcome.
Right. All right. Hey, have a good one, Brad.
You too, man.
Each fan base probably has, for example, on August 2nd, 1979, Yankee catcher, the captain, Thurman Munson, was killed in that plane crash. And that was a Wednesday. No, that was a Thursday, and they had a game the next day. Friday at home against the Orioles, and they lost 1-0. Louis Tiant and Scotty McGregor dueled in that game, and it was surreal. There was some kind of a warning from Major League Baseball about a forfeit because the Yankees were in Chicago, and when the plane crash happened, and then Steinbrenner was like, well, we're all going to be the next day in I think it was, might have been Canton, where Thurman was from. And they were like, well, if you're not back, and Steinbrenner was just like, whatever. And they made it back for the game. And like I said, it wound up being a rarity. You know, how many 1-0 games are there over the course of a season? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good evening. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. My spidey senses must have been tingling because I tuned in and Brad was talking. I think it's a rule that I was going after the other. Right. Hey, but tonight, here's the thing. I don't give the Blazers a very big chance of winning this game. There's too much surrounding this game that makes it, you know, too many intangibles with what's going on that I just can't imagine the Blazers winning at all.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about the outcome of the game because obviously the magnitude of what's going to take place and has been taking place since we learned the news on Sunday kind of overshadows it. So, you know, I'm sure I'm sure there aren't a lot of analysts around the country, you know, breaking down the three-quarter court pressure Portland might apply to the Laker offense.
No, absolutely. And I guess my point was, as a Blazer fan going into this game, it was the first game where I'm like, I really want to watch this game. But it's not because I think the Blazers are going to win. I think this is like it's just this weird surreal. I mean, the Lakers have rest, and they have everything to play for to honor the memory of Kobe Bryant. I just think that this is I think this is just a weird game to be tuning into as a Blazer fan, just in that sense. But, you know, I mean... You know, Carmelo taking the game off because of grief. I mean, just all the way around, I think, I hate to say this, but I think all the way across the board, I think everyone kind of wants the Lakers to win in a weird sort of way, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those games where people kind of shelve their loyalties for 2.5 hours and kind of, you know, pour their heart into it more than their fan loyalty.
Yeah, I was also going to mention, I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but I thought it was crazy, but I was driving on Chris Kilcullen Highway, like by the one of the Springfield exits, the Mohawk exit, and they have all those big billboards, and they had they have this rotating billboard, which is a digital billboard that changes, and I just happened to drive by, and one of the big things was a giant billboard of Kobe that says Legend 1978 to 2020, and I was like, so surreal, like the magnitude of that guy's popularity, that in Eugene, Oregon, there's a giant billboard taken out.
Holy cow! Yeah. That's unbelievable!
Yeah. It was completely unbelievable. Like, it's a flashing billboard. It's one of those rotating digital ones, but they definitely, I went
still
by the entire screen of Kobe that says Legend in Lakers font, and it says that, yeah. And I thought, wow, Eugene, Oregon, that's crazy. I don't know who paid for that or who's responsible for that, but I was like, that is surreal, because it just says something about the magnitude of how famous that guy actually was.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you shared that, because I'm like shaking my head here. But, you know, it's a sports town, and his impact obviously is international regardless. All right. Thanks a lot, Josh. Have
all
a good
right,
one.
Take care, Steve.
Take it easy. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to chomp on in. Maybe jump on in is probably a better way.
Do we have a formal no biting policy, or is this like a sign we have to put up as a precaution?
Being a dog person, biting bad. We also, whether it's, you know, my granddaughter, now once she started growing teeth, it's like, don't bite. It's just a bad idea.
A little teething from a puppy, kind of okay, but yeah, no biting.
By the way, somebody just texted there's a Kobe billboard in Corvallis as well. Amazing. One of the things I came across today is a story about Ronda Rousey. I know this is kind of out of left field, but consider the source and the show. And you're like, oh, typical. Just Steve, just make a left. Don't worry about us. Don't worry if you use your directional, just off the beaten path. But anyway, Ronda Rousey no longer feels pressure to prove she's the best ever. I was like, whoa. Time out. Neither do I. You know why? Because I'm not sure anybody really considers that. I like Rousey. And as you know, we like to talk up women's sports, because I'm still in amazement at times about some of the antiquated, Neanderthal, misogynistic attitudes that exist in sports and media. I mean, that idiot Marcus Morris of the Knicks, a very recent example. But while you fairly can attach the term pioneer to Rousey, I think you really have to reevaluate her talent and place in the women's hierarchy, because she was a judo gold medalist, right? More MMA than UFC. And by that I mean women in sanctioned UFC fights is relatively new on the timeline. I was doing some reading. In the mid-90s in Japan, they had it. In the United States, the first competition was an exhibition 23 years ago. And you got a quote from Dana White some years ago about adding women to UFC. And he said, there's just not enough depth, because you want a deep talent pool to choose from, so you've got a quality product. So from an historical point of view, he signed Rousey late in 2012, so just over 7 years ago. And, of course, she was the hottest thing going, kicking everybody's butt. But it was a limited field to choose from. But she was entertaining. She was exciting. I mean, she was an entourage. She was all over the place. I mean, was there a major sports show, ESPN, Rome, Patrick, everybody, that we did not hear Ronda Rousey on pitching a fight? But over time, if you noticed, as more and more women took to it and were training and were pursuing this as a career, I mean, think about this. Like I said, Rousey was signed in late 2012. Are you guys aware of the timeline when Holly Holm just took her out? That was less than 3 years later. And it looked like a mismatch. Holm looked more skilled and just a better fighter, but it was one loss, and there was still a demand for Rousey. But remember, she went into hibernation. She came back after a year, and do you remember what happened? She fought Amanda Nunes and didn't even last 50 seconds. So in this article today, I noted she said, "I've never said I'm retired," and I'm like, "All right, so you fought UFC in 13, 14, and 15. You haven't in 17, 18, or 19. I mean, at what point are you retired? You're not ranked. You're not, nobody's pursuing you to come out of your non-retirement." And she says she doesn't feel pressure to prove she's the best ever. And I'm like, is that a thing? Do you have a case anymore as the greatest women's UFC boxer? And by the way, I went to see how old she is. So right now, as we speak, she's 32. And like I said, she's been away for more than three full seasons. And she turns 33 in the morning. So
happy birthday.
Right. So a fighter 32, as we've seen, is in their prime with the way it's conditioning. But she's done. I mean, she's an afterthought. I went and, look up the best pound-for-pound fighters. First of all, I'm not all that knowledgeable. The lioness, Amanda Nunes, is ranked one. Shevchenko, Chris Cyborg, the woman from China we've been talking about, recent Weili Zhang, Magnum, who's fighting Joanna, Zhang Jacek. Those are the number four and six fighters in the world. So like I said, I'm not all that well-schooled. There's Holly Holm, the preacher's daughter, is also top 10. And by the way, I'm not on this looking for Rousey because, again, she might not say she's retired, but she's not in the game. So I just found it interesting that she decided to I don't feel I have anything to prove. Actually, right. Since the field expanded, and all of a sudden there were actual quality fighters from you across the ring, you got your ass kicked twice.
Like, it would be one thing for her to say, like, I was one of the best, like, that's behind me now, like, I don't have, like, whatever. Like, you know, if you're speaking eloquently, or I guess you're not eulogizing your past or whatever, but you're just reminiscing about the good old days. Like, I was really good. I was at the top of my sport. I was everywhere. It allowed me to be a movie star and in the WWE and, like, beyond. But, oh, boy, to say, like, no, I'm still the best, you're going to get your face beaten more.
No, well, I don't think there's... All right, I doubt that if she fighted, there wouldn't be a market for it. It's certainly, I mean, I think she's also got like 7 of the 8 top pay-per-views for women. And it's only recently that anybody even got, broke it on the, her list. But if you look at who she defeated, they're also nowhere to be found. And her angle should be, I broke through. I was the one that really made people say, oh, this is legit. They're great athletes. I'm going to go watch her. I'm going to pay to see her. People are going to gather at their homes to watch the next Rousey fight. So the attitude since the back-to-back losses, I shouldn't say the attitude, it's been a disappearing act. So there you go. She was certainly important. She was the reason that UFC added women to their divisions. Remember, Dana White had said on numerous decisions, what was she with pro wrestling for about a year? And then she ended up headlining a WrestleMania like last year. First time a woman had headlined WrestleMania. But that's not a sport. That doesn't count. That does, you know, you don't incorporate that to her being an active fighter. So, yeah, I found the article odd. And, well, I guess I found what she was saying inaccurate.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, and then for her to even get another shot, like Dana White makes sure that all of his, well, I guess as a collective, his guys in UFC, he makes sure that when they're fighting for a belt, they're like tuned up and they've been fighting for a while. It's why Conor got Cowboy Cerrone, what, 2 weekends ago or whatever, whenever that fight was. Like, Conor hadn't fought since October of 2018. He kind of needed a tune up, and everybody's talking about the Masvidal Conor fight, like whenever that's gonna happen. And you know, Dana White's is like, no, you're gonna have to fight for a couple things first. You're gonna have to prove that you're in shape and you're dedicated to want to be in the ring, you know, in outside of the ring with everything that's going on. And for Ronda to be like, I've done wrestling, I'm in shape, I'm ready to fight, put me in for a belt, and then to get her face beaten in for, you know, the third consecutive time, it's not gonna be good.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of get a list of her fights, and see if any of them are even currently ranked. Maybe I'll do that during the break. It looks like people like Sasha Banks. Yeah, like I said, they're not household names. And the two people I recognize, Nunez and Holm, at you know, they took her out and fast.
Like, you would think her mentality would be, I was, you know, I broke through the glass ceiling.
Yes.
I was the one who brought women's fighting, you know, kind of up to the same level with men's UFC. Look at all of the other women that are involved with the sport. Look at the money that they're making. Look at the support from fans and everything. Everything else that, you know, has risen women's fighting up is because of Ronda Rousey. And, like, the fighters got better because of that, because they were gunning for her and she wasn't ready for it. And for her to still think, well, I was at one point the best, so I am forever the best. Would be nice for you to have some retrospective that the reason you're still not in the UFC is because you're not good at it anymore.
Right. And there's not a market for you any longer. All right. Before we take our first break of the 5 o'clock hour, I want to give you a chance to win a $10 prepaid gift card from our friends at Big Al State Farm, located on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. At this time of year, he's asking if you got your family protected, they'll take an in-depth look at all your insurance needs and figure out the best way to protect you and your family from the consequences that can occur when you're not properly covered. They're located on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart here in Eugene. And you could call them 686-1522. The website, new, up and running, BigAlEugene.com. And occasionally, I will ask you a trivia question. Don't call. Don't voicemail. We're only doing it via text line, 321-0824. First gets it. If you're the first one, well, actually, with a correct answer. That's even better. So 321-0824, I'll ask you the question. You give me the answer for a $10 prepaid gift card from Big Al State Farm. So I don't know, I'm into skiing for some reason this week. So you hear about the downhill and the slalom and all that. What does the Super G in the Super G slalom in skiing stand for? What's the G stand for? 321-0824. Break time, back, update, sports talk, 95.3 The Score.
.95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Duck ball with Pete on the shot clock. Richardson gives to Pritchard. Long triple, yes! Ducks by 10. Minute 55 to go. 70-60. Oregon on a 7-0 run. Peyton Pritchard with ice in his veins.
Nice job, PP3. It seemed like the gamer. Then it got annoyingly interesting. Even in the post game, that over-the-top foul off of a free throw by Shakur Justin. Dana Altman said, and I quote, "Yeah, he played a great game, but that was a stupid foul." God, was there 19 seconds ago? He goes over the top to stop the clock, put him on the line. It's like literally the last thing you want to do.
I was thinking back the entire like last minute of that game with the Ducks were up 10. I just sent out the tweet saying that Dana Altman was a wizard for like the Ducks being down 1 to up 10. They'd only given up 2 points in like 3 minutes or whatever crazy run they were on.
Yep.
And all I could think of was post game after the UCLA game. Somebody asked Altman about like how he felt with the lead and blah, blah, blah. He's like, it got to about 15 points with, you know, 12, 13 minutes to go in the half. And I was getting kind of nervous and I was like, he must be freaking out right now because it's 10 points and Cal can't miss and they keep getting the ball back. Like, he's got to be going crazy on the sidelines right now. And because he was just talking about no lead is safe, you can't ever be too careful in this conference, all of these games, they mean so much, and just everything can change in a heartbeat. And I was like, if I jinxed this because of a tweet where I praised Dana Altman, I am gonna feel
bad.
I'm not gonna be allowed back in the Matt Knight Arena for a men's or a women's game. They won't let me in.
It did not end smoothly. That's what's known as skidding in to the finish line rather than hitting the tape in perfect form. But, that was a tale of two halves as well. I mean, that Grant and Antisevich, I mentioned his previous three games, he had a total of 6 points, including a 32-minute performance against UCLA, where he didn't score at all. He's got 10 points in the first half. It's like, who the hell is this guy? And then Matt Bradley, who's their top gun, is invisible, and he ends up going off and making a game out of it with a game-high 25 points. But, neither team was in sync offensively, even though they hit a patch where they were like a game of horse. Because, 14 assists to 27 buckets is not great. That's what Oregon was. And they matched every assist by coughing it up. Oregon's edge was inside. And, of course, they still don't have Enfali Dante. But I'll tell you what, seeing Anthony Mathis make a couple shots is encouraging. As they move on and into more important games in this conference, it can't just be Pritchard from deep or Duarte from deep. Duarte needs to do what he does. He's a havoc wreaker. He got to the line 7 times last night. He made them all. He had 19 points. He is great with his athleticism, and he's beyond fast. He's lightning quick. He fills passing lanes, couple of steals. He rebounds. Another tremendous all-around game. 19 points for him. Will Richardson had his best all-around game in a while. 15 points, 4 assists. When he is able to use his savvy to kind of get inside, and he just has a tendency to make easy buckets. And of course, once he's getting to the rim with his ability to finish either straight on with a little teardrop or show what a geometry major he is, because he uses angles off the backboard really well. And if he's scoring inside, all of a sudden now the rim protectors have to account from him, and that's where you get the dish and dunk, dish and layup. So, make no mistake, when you're battling for a conference like this and you have 5 teams who all have 3 or 2 losses, you don't take road wins for granted. And especially what Ben Braun said last night, the former Cal coach, who said no team in this conference so far this year has gone on the road and won both games. And with the results of Oregon State, by the way, nice win at Stanford. We're talking about how disappointing their season had become. But they were able to close the door, finish the game pretty well. It went to the last minute with OSU up 64-61. And they, after a timeout, Oregon State walked. And I was like, oh man, you cannot blow this game. But Stanford misses, and the last chance for OSU. Well, first there was a bucket that put the thing away to make it a 5-point game. So yeah, Trace Tinkle, not great shooting, but he does so much. You know, he missed all of his threes, scored inside, made all 5 free throws, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks. Kyler Kelly, their big man inside. There were 11 blocks in this game. Kelly had 7. He had all of OSU's blocks. Ethan Thompson, good game. But, I mean, they just needed that. I'm almost going to say for sanity's sake, because they were sinking like a stone. Without that, they would have remained in a tie for last. So now the Ducks head for Maples. And by the way, I would say that game was less than attractive to the locals. There were only 2,700 people on hand. But Beavs don't care about that. They capitalized on turnovers, and their bench came to the rescue. With Jared Lucas, 21 points off the pine, as they outscored the Stanford bench 24-7. So, you know, looking ahead to Stanford on tomorrow, right? This is a more traditional week. We had the Sunday game last week against UCLA, but, you know, with the way things shake out now, It's amazing that the team who was picked to win is on top, but the team to pick who was picked to finish third is dead last in 12th, Washington. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I should mention at 7-2 now, Oregon starts the second half of the season against the Cardinals. So, you know, tick, 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 time's flying by, and the magnitude of the games. That's 3 o'clock tomorrow on the Pac-12 network. So there you go. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yes.
On that note, we had someone call in who asked how they were able to, or how they can access the Pac-12 Mountain, because I know that was, I think that's where the women's game will be again, is just on Pac-12 Mountain. So if you don't have, if you knew how to, if you somehow accessed that last night when you had trouble finding it, to those who don't.
I didn't.
You didn't have access to
it? I didn't have trouble finding
it. Oh, didn't have, oh, wow, that's big for you.
Go to GoDucks.com, which I thought, once I saw they had the watch icon, go to GoDucks.com, click on women's schedule, scroll down to Colorado, and just click watch. I got it because they said log into your Xfinity account, and I was home. Sometimes that matters. So I don't know what your service is, but that was available. It was awesome. I had the men on one, my main TV, and I had the women on my laptop, you know, watching it on a little 13-inch screen. And to tell you the truth, I was more eye checking, and to tell you the truth, I didn't think there was going to be a moment where, oh, I better watch this. And once they blew it out to 30 points early in the third, I was like, I'm going to put this one in the secure file. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Did I give the trivia answer? What the G in Super G in skiing is? It's giant. A bunch of you got it. I already notified the winners, so congratulations. All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Start with David. David, good evening. Thanks for calling. How you doing? We lost David.
He gone.
Let's give it another shot. And to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Pat. Pat, good afternoon. And he gone too?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there we are.
Volume helps.
Hey. Okay. So, we've got the women's team. They got Connecticut on Monday night.
Yes.
So, my feeling is that Connecticut's going to take advantage of many more like Arizona State did and Stanford did and Louisville did. And until Kelly Graves decides to put her on the bench and start playing Taylor Chavez more and Jazz Shelley, I think that they're going to get beat on Monday.
And your problem with Moore is?
She is a problem because the other all those teams take advantage of her. In that Stanford game, they were kicking our butt until midway or late in the first quarter. He takes her out. Why the announcers are talking on ESPN how she's a problem. And I didn't have to have them tell me that because I can watch the game for myself. I watched against Arizona State, and I watched them frickin' double down and let her shoot if she would dare to. And she's not going to.
She
is a problem.
Now, she missed her threes against Stanford, but she made 4-6 on the drive.
Well, but Steve, by the time scoring, the game was over.
Matter. All right, go ahead.
Well, we were in control, okay? I mean, let's be really honest about this. They talk about Am Chavez, and I love that kid. She can play. She can score. She played great defense. Jazz Shelley is a good ball player. And Minya Moore is a problem because teams take advantage of her. They do. She's a decent defender, yeah. But here's the thing. That if you want to take, for example, look at Bowley and what's happened to her this year. Minya Moore only knows three girls in that team. It's Sobley, Ebert, and, of course, Inescu. That's who she throws the ball to. And I've seen time and time again when Bowley's standing there wide open. And that's the difference when having her and her replacing someone like Maite. Because Maite got the ball around the court. And that's the difference when you have Chavez and Shelley, who are much more about distributing the ball. And they're also threats.
All right.
And
well, I will keep
whack
an,
off. And so, I love this team, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to. But what drives me crazy is watching what happens.
Well,
ESPN talks about it.
Okay. Okay, Pat. Okay, we get your point.
Okay.
All right? Take it easy. What do people not understand when they hear my voice? That means it's time for you to listen now. Because I think with Moore, she's not a decent defender. She's a tenacious, in-your-face, really good defender. And she provides the kind of speed that you have to account for. She's not a great offensive player. All right, let's take one call before our what? Final break of the little week I'm having to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We bring in the other Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good afternoon. That was an interesting tirade. What are you going to do? I just wanted to call and give my flawless prediction for Sunday.
Okay.
And why. San Francisco will win the game 35-31. They will do it by two ways. Mainly, the defense will pretty much shut down our Wonder Boy on the Kansas City team. And the Niners will employ a running game that will keep him off the field anyway. And so Kansas City will not have the option of controlling the clock or even being out on the field. The time of possession will be something like, I don't know, 35-25, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Uh-huh. But you still think they're going to manage to carve out that many points despite control in the game?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
When
they have to, they'll throw the ball to the their wonderful tight end of theirs.
Yeah, well, there's two great tight ends, George Kittle for San Francisco and Travis Kelce for KC. They're elite.
Yeah, Kittle is who I'm talking about.
Okay.
And that will help them control when the running game gets stuffed. They'll go to Kittle or Samuels.
So, no, you're preaching. I have San Francisco to win this game. I like that point and a half.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you win.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Take it easy.
Nobody hopes I win more than me. All right, 284-8571. the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. That brings us to break time. We'll come back. We'll have the tweet of the day, and we'll wrap up a weekend. 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hello, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. I want to go back to yesterday because we did not have a Tweet of the Day, but we had about 19 nominees for Tweet of the Day, all thanks to Tom Brady, who posted a pretty inconspicuous, weird, trolly picture of him walking into or out of a stadium that may or may not be Gillette Stadium, that may or may not be the visitor's tunnel. The conspiracy theories on this are just about endless, and some of the replies and the quote tweets for this were fantastic. From at Reddit CFB, Tom Brady has entered the transfer portal. This is very good.
That's really good.
From at PFT Commenter, he's walking into an actual football stadium, so looks like he's not going to the Chargers.
Oh! Deep and deeper. That's both home runs.
That's very good. And from at EDSBS, every day should be Saturday. Prefer to think of this as Tom Brady dramatically misunderstanding how selfies work.
Not to be ruled out. Totally not to be ruled out.
Oh, just fantastic. Adam Schefter then later tweeted, I'm told that tweet is not related to Tom Brady's football future. Repeat, tweet not related to his football future. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, right. Some good tweets today as well. Oh, what do we got? What do we got from today? Oh, Mark Ingram. He was doing
Mark
his tour.
Ingram. The little guy?
The little one in the picture, yeah. He was doing his tour on Media Day, and this is from at SEC Network, who took a photo of the broadcast and put it next to this quote from Mark Ingram. He was actually on CBS Sports HQ today where they pulled this from. Y'all weak for that picture. Whoever took that screenshot of the TV, come see me. I've got some business with you. You look at a picture of like a 20-year-old and a grown man at that point, and you're like, oh, Derrick Henry's the grown man. They let a teenager onto the field next to the professional football player. No, that the professional football player is Mark Ingram. Derrick Henry is gigantic. He's a gigantic human being. But our tweet of the day is from at Lakers, who are doing a whole lot for Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, the 9 victims of the plane crash on Sunday. It's going to be a big emotional night at the Staples Center tonight. They are reserving 2 courtside seats that Kobe and Gianna sat in the last time they were at Staples Center watching a game. They have one of Kobe's 24 jerseys over the seats. They have one of Gianna's number 2 jerseys from the Mamba Academy on another with a bouquet of roses that are on them. And they tweeted hashtag girl dad, which has been I forgot the name of the Sports Center anchor who shared the story where Kobe told her, no, I'm a girl dad. I'd have 9 more girls before
I
had a boy.
That was, she didn't get through it without cracking
no,
a couple
I
times.
Couldn't
it
get through
really
it without
emotional.
Watching it either. So hashtag girl dad from at Lakers. It's going to be a big emotional night in the NBA. So thanks to them for the, I guess, refreshing. It's not really refreshing, but it's our tweet of the day. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all the same handle, at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter, at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter, at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it.
JDI. There is a picture circulating of Cam Newton at the Super Bowl festivities. He's got one of those like British golf caps on. It looks like he's got a small animal hiding underneath it. It is so big. it's uncomfortable. I'm going to tweet it out now because it's unbelievable. I'll tell you what. I would be like concerned if I didn't know who he was and I was working security. I'd be like, you know, one of those things you talk to in your shoulder. Yeah, yeah. Hey, there's a big guy with a bow tie. He's, check that hat. Check that hat. His son.
Just because they call it a 10-gallon hat doesn't mean you have put 10 gallons of stuff in there.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like that. That is absolutely fantastic. Gone, home run. Absolutely fantastic. All right. So as we wind down, I would like to thank Brooke Olsendam of NBC Sports Northwest for her time and generosity today in the 3 o'clock hour. Lee Sterling, who checked in from the scene, the site, I should say, of Super Bowl 54, Miami. Online, ParamountSports.com, on Twitter, at Paramount Sports, with some fun stuff, some good insight as to what's happening, and some well-thought-out prop bets. And Nick and I gave you our Steve and Nick 3 pick. All the numbers we got, courtesy of the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. And you could learn more. Visit sports.oregonlottery.org and have fun. Enjoy the action. Don't do anything nuts. As far as the game 3:30, like I said, I've made my big money bet. And I've gone San Francisco plus 1.5. Parlayed with the under 54.5. I'm definitely, I think I left myself about $60, depending on how Brighton does against West Ham in the EPL tomorrow morning. So based on the former Oregon golfer, Kendra Little, she was on Twitter. I was like, you sure about this? She's like, whoever plays West Ham next is going to kill him. And I was like, all right, I'm throwing $20 on it. So there you go. Oregon has a chance, the men, to be the first Pac-12 team to sweep on the road this year. The Oregon women are going to play and then head for Stores to play UConn Monday. So we're going to have plenty to talk about. Have yourselves a magnificent weekend. Thanks for hanging and listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.